call this Tuesday, February 20th special session meeting to order here at the Great River Regional Library. I'd like to welcome you all. This is a special session, so a little different. We are going to move directly on into number two, committee member appointments, and I'm going to turn this over to Karen and Patty.
So just to make things official for the purpose of the minutes, at the January meeting, there was some question as to who was going to be on the personnel committee, whether it was Laura or Dave. I spoke with Laura. She said that she would prefer to serve on the fund development committee, and Dave agreed that he would stay on the personnel committee if there was still a seat open. So the official appointments then would be Dave to the personnel committee and Laura to the fund development committee for the purpose of the minutes. Is there?
And we don't need a motion for that.
It might not be a bad idea because Randy's not here to do the official appointment as president. So.
And just a note, Randy was here, but he had to leave. He's got a medical issue going on, so you get the vice tonight. So
I'll make that motion to
Mary. So there's a motion David. Made to approve those two committee member appointments. Is there a second?
I can second it.
And there's a second. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Moving on to agenda item number three, distribution process presentation. We're going to turn this over to Aaron.
We're going to have a field trip.
Yes.
So Aaron will be bringing us back to the distribution area. We had a number of board members who were interested in learning more about how especially the Sartell process is working behind the scenes. So we'll grab the recorder and bring that back there so that we have a record of it. And Aaron will lead us in the presentation. And then when we come back, we'll also have another presentation for the strategic plan, which is down on number five. So it will be a more informative meeting tonight.
Are you ready?
Okay. So lead the way, Aaron.
So do we have everyone?
That's yes. The end of the train. Yep.
Okay. Basically, Randy Winter, board president, was here when we were doing bank signatures, and he had some questions about how Sartell and how distribution operated, so he said he would like a presentation at the next board meeting. And I thought he was kidding, but here we are. So this is our dock here, and then these three transit vehicles here are what bring in the material in these canvas bags that are behind you and in front of you and all over. They come in from the branches pulling the material for holds. They come here, the drivers unload them, and then they go on these carts, depending upon if they are on the north route, south route, or central route. From there, they go inside, which we will head in there in a second, and there are three tables in there that are sorting tables, so I will go into more detail with that once we get in there. The Sartell stuff, which is new, is right behind here. Right now, as you can see, there are eight bags, and we had just delivered to Sartell this morning. So this right here is our current backlog.
There's cookies in this one.
Really?
Mary, you're getting cookies, I guess.
So this here is our current backlog, and hence one of the reasons why we reached out to Sartell, and we were the Sartell City Administration, and talked to them about what we could do to possibly reduce this backlog. And one thing that was recommended by Karen and Jay and me was to go ahead and go with a second delivery day. So I costed that out, got the information over to Mary. Here we go. Hello. We got the information over to Mary. She ran it through your city council, and they said it was a relatively inexpensive way to help the backlog. So they approved it at their January 22nd meeting, I believe, right? Or is it the 20th?
No idea.
20th or 22nd. Sometime in January. So with that, we had to do an extension of the contract or an amendment to the contract, which Karen wrote up. And then once signed by the board, we can implement that beginning this Friday. The way Sartell works is a little different than the rest. Is The material still comes in on the vans from either St. Cloud or from the branches when they pull the material that is for Sartell Community Center. When that material comes in, the material gets put in bags and it gets set out here on the dock until Monday morning. This was the current process until this second day delivery passes. Then from there, Heavenly on, which our distribution assistant, she would take these bags and she would check them all in order to get the Sartell slips, in order to know who the patron was, and then she would assign a locker to that. Once she got going and she found out that, whoops, I need to stop, I'm already at my 44th locker, she would have all the lockers full, and then she would have to recheck in everything that she already checked in previously and check it back into St. Cloud. And then that stuff is what is standing over here waiting to go out next Tuesday. So the second day delivery, depending upon how many lockers or how many patrons come between now and Thursday to pick up their items, how many lockers we'll have available to at least get rid of some of these and move these out to, so patrons can get their material. So
do we know if they've come to pick them up, if the locker's empty and we can send the next batch, or?
Yeah, the system records it.
Oh, yes, it does. What happens is our driver, when he's out there every day, if it turns a different color, it starts out at blue, then once it's assigned, it turns to green, and then once it's been picked up, it turns to brown. So when he's out there and he sees brown lockers, he's under administration, he takes care of force emptying them, and it turns them back to green, which allows Heavenly to reassign. We'll give it a try.
I don't need to.
So, from there, we can move inside here. Oh, thank you. And inside here is where all the magic happens. We'll just right in here. Pile in wherever you can. And inside here, first I'd like to introduce Amanda. She is our distribution aide here. There are two more over here. There's Brian Schmitz. He is sitting down doing headquarters stuff. And we also have Alice Neal over there. She is a veteran of distribution. And then we have Kenny Queen. She is on the end over there. I don't think she's paying any attention. So, the aides are the ones that do most of the sorting here on these tables. These are separated by route. You got your north route here, you got your central route, and then you got your southern route. Sartell is not on any specific route, but we sort it off the north table. So like I said, the material comes in on carts, and then they get rerouted by route into these bags. And then once these bags get to a certain level, which is a line written on these bags, they get taken back out onto the dock and set by their respective branches for the next morning's delivery. So that in a nutshell is how material moves from the branches and then back out to the branches to get into the patron's hands. Yes, sir. To learn everyone's names? it took me a little while, plus I had some turnover in the department, so it took me a little while. Does anyone have any other questions or any specific ones about Sartell or distribution?
Annabelle better start stepping up. There's
nothing in there?
I have a question.
Yes.
We
do not hold material. When it comes in, if all five of them come in at the same time and we check them all in, and they all can go. But if it also depends on like where that person is on the waiting list for material. So if somebody orders five different items and they come in at different times, they're gonna go out in the way that they came in.
So just to clarify, whatever is here for you on the day that the delivery is going to Sartell goes to Sartell, as long as there's a locker available. If there's not a locker available, it'll all wait until the next time.
Goes out on that shelf out there.
That's part of the challenge.
That's the challenge, yes.
Whatever is here for you on the day that the Sartell delivery is going to Sartell goes. We don't wait until stuff that's still up in the air lands here. Whatever's here just goes out.
We don't do it by patron. We do it by however many items we have. And then we sort it by patron because it's one patron per locker. Or it could be more than one patron per locker. It just depends on how many items that they have. Correct. Expired holds. Yeah. And that's another I wanted to just mention in front of the board here is another issue with the backlog is that patrons may or may not be, well, I would say are not, picking up their items in a very timely manner. And so if they leave, if they have three lockers held up and they leave it there all week and they decide, I don't feel like going to get it, that ties up that locker, those two or three lockers for the whole week. And then when we bring the material back, it frees them up for the following Tuesday to go out. But that's part of the backlog.
So that is true for me too, because you know it's a week and I know something is here, but I'm gonna wait for the next thing to come here and stuff. So I think maybe something different if we have so many limited lockers that you have to pick it up in, let's say, 2 hours or 3 days instead of the 7 days, so that the lockers can turn over faster.
That is something that we have thought of.
That would be like the next step, yeah. The extra delivery.
Yeah. For all fairness, when we did this pilot project for Sartell, we knew there was going to be a learning curve in here and how to deal with it. We knew the first one's going to be the challenge, but the second year we'll smooth out the wrinkles. By the third year, we should be seeing what's the best way to deliver service in the most cost-effective manner.
Mm-hmm.
So this is part of the learning curve.
Correct. Once the material gets put into the locker and it's closed, I believe that's when the system initiates an email. Oh, after Heavenly, she does them at right around 6:30 at night, I believe, because then notices go out at after 6:30 every day. Is that correct?
So when the item comes in and she checks it into the system, sets a flag, you need to get a notification. And then that depends on if you get telephone calls or if you get email.
Yeah.
That all will happen the next morning. So when IT staff come in, we generate the phone messages. At 10:20 in the morning, the first set of email messages automatically go out, and so that's how you get notified.
Are you notified then if it hasn't been picked up like 2 days?
No. Everything except Sartell, 5 days a week delivery, yes.
Once a day.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, Wake Park gets hit twice, but because they have a really large load that they end up having to bring back here because they check in their material for us. So we end up hitting Wake Park twice.
Question is, okay, yes. Sartell, locker, order is a one item that got a lot of demand and their name comes up, put in locker. If they don't pick it up in time, then they go back to the bottom of the list and everybody.
That's correct.
Yes, that is correct.
Just,
yep.
Just to make it fair, because everybody else is waiting for it. If you don't pick it up, tough luck.
Yeah, we don't put it back in for them to, here you go.
Right.
You know. Just fair. The hold expires and then we move it on to the next.
Right.
Which is the same as we treat anything that's on the shelf in your library to pick up as well. If it
correct.
You leave it, don't pick it up, it expires, you're to the bottom of the list.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Or you can re-request it, I guess. Any other questions or? Thank you.
Okay, we're good to-
to go. So welcome back, everyone. Any more questions of the distribution process now that we're here and maybe can hear a little better?
You had a question, didn't you?
Well, I think my question is probably more on number four. So
okay.
We'll
okay.
Wait.
Well, then this kind of brings us into number four. The distribution process was part of that, so good job. So moving on to agenda item number four, the Alternatives Library Service Agreement. We'd like to welcome Mary DiGiovanni and Anita Archambault from Sartell to our table or our microphone somewhere.
Do you have anything you guys would want to speak to or? Okay.
Great. Okay. Well, then I'll turn this over to Karen. Sure. And this is a request for action.
So the City of Sartell did pass a resolution in favor of adding an additional delivery day funded by the City of Sartell. This would be an amendment to our existing alternative services agreement, and it's in your packet. If you have any questions about it, we can answer those, but it would effectively just add that second day of delivery and have Sartell offset the cost of staffing in order to accomplish that.
And Karen, Madam Chair, currently they deliver on Tuesday.
They deliver every Tuesday. We pick up 4 days a week from the book drop, so this is just adding that delivery day, but the processing time is also behind the scenes here at the St. Cloud building.
Okay, so the second day would like Tuesday, Friday, or how would it
Tuesday,
work
Tuesday, Friday, yes.
Okay. So enough time for people Tuesday to pick up their material and
right.
Open up lockers for Friday, hopefully.
And we initially picked Tuesday as a delivery day, partly because we have often a Monday closure holiday, and we didn't want that to impact the service to the City of Sartell.
Makes sense.
Okay, other questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I have a question on the service amount that's in the agreement. Is that for the new 2 deliveries per week?
That is for 1 additional delivery. And it's adding on to the pickup of that day. It's not an additional day. It's just adding the processing time to process the holds and load the lockers.
Oh, I see. Okay. That makes me feel better. I thought it was a little low and I was just questioning that.
Yeah.
So.
We were building on to stuff that's already there.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Okay, other questions?
Madam Chair, I move the Sartell amendment.
So we have a first, is there a second? Second over here with Mary. Any other comments or questions?
Madam Chair, since our chair is not here, can the vice chair sign in his place this contract?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure.
If the board wishes, I don't see why there'd be an issue.
They are acting as the chair, so
yeah.
It should be
as the chair.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion has carried. Thank you for joining us for the meeting.
Thank you.
Moving on to agenda item number 5, Great River Regional Strategic Plan Reports.
So part of our strategic plan was to implement local action plans at each of our libraries. We have 2 library services coordinators here to share their successes, John Hannon from the Albany Library and Wanda Erickson from the Upsala location. So welcome to them, and they will be presenting on their local action plan progress from 2017. So take it away.
Please join us at the table.
All right, so
you're on.
Yeah, you gotta eat
like
them.
Okay, so
there you go.
All right, so I'm not blaring everyone out. So when we went into our local action plan, we kind of looked at the census data for Albany, and as far as parts of the community that we were feeling like we underserved, it came down to teens or adults over 55. And you're already laughing. You know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And teens kind of seemed like looking for the Holy Grail a little bit. So we decided that adults over 55 was something we could definitely set some goals that we could meet. and we could actually have some impact for sure, whereas teens may be out of the reach a little bit. So most of our goals with adults over 55 were around programming attendance and participation in other library activities, because we do have a pretty strong group that comes in and uses materials. But then when we have programs for adults, it's parents, teens, to some extent, and those same people that we're seeing over 55 aren't coming for programs, or I should say weren't coming for programs. So a lot of our goals were set around trying to find additional programs that we could do and change the programs that we had to get more 55 plus, especially the senior population. And one of the first ones we did was we had, we partnered with AARP, and we brought in one of their speakers to talk about fraud prevention and avoiding scams, and which, I mean, worked out excellent because it was free and they were looking for a place to do it, so all we had to do was reserve a time, and they showed up, and out of 10 people that attended, 8 of them were people that we had not seen in the library before. They had heard about it through AARP, and we got some fringe benefits in the fact that a lot of community partners that wouldn't normally advertise our programs were willing to advertise, you know, avoiding scams, especially the banks in town, put it up on their marquees. They've been willing to do that with other programs since then, so that worked out. But it was a collection of, you know, videos of the in-person scams, recordings of the phone scams, you know, teaching people not to just say yes because the other person on the line asked them to. Things like that, especially the email scams, which we see a lot of, but actually being able to show people a picture of this is what you're going to get in your email, and this is what you need to do when you get that. So that one, it seemed to benefit a lot of people, and we've seen some of those people coming back and using the computer systems. And then we also tried to push the Book a Librarian program, because we find a lot of, you know, 30 to 40-year-olds are willing to use that. 55 plus, it's more of a, I don't have time. You know, yeah, I want to use my iPad that my grandkids got me, but no. It's, you know, I don't need to learn that. And we generally can convince about one person a month to do Book a Librarian, and we were aiming to get it up to about 3. We didn't quite get it to 3. We're right around 2 in any given month. But the people we have convinced really do love the service once they actually get and sit down with one of the patron service librarians from St. Cloud. A lot of times they find out that the problem that they didn't have time for doesn't take the full hour, you know, 10 to 15 minutes into it, and they've got their problem solved, and then they've got an Amazon account now, and they're shopping online and doing all those things that they were never going to do, so, which creates a whole set of questions that we didn't know we were going to be dealing with a month later, but... Well, that goes back to the scam emails, but so I mean that one's been going really well. We tried to change some of our other programs. We learned a little bit from that. Changing our existing programs to cater to 55 plus didn't always work out. We went and we partnered with Community Ed to hire 2 bands out of the 4 bands for our Music on Main series in July. We decided that we would let the 55 plus crowd give us kind of input on who we hired for one of the bands. We ended up hiring Social Security Express, which their youngest band member is 77, and their lead singer is 88. And they were very good. They came and they did their version of Johnny Cash, and it was very good. But what we saw was none of the people that said we should hire them were actually there. We didn't see any increase in the 55 plus attendance, and we saw a decrease in the younger family attendance when they saw Social Security Express. And then by complete coincidence, we had a group of high school students for the 4th band, and they also were doing Johnny Cash. And then a lot of the people that told us to hire Social Security Express were there for that. So we kind of learned not to change too much of our existing programming just to cater to that. And we don't want to lose the other crowds that we're already getting, but otherwise, you know, for the most part, it was a success with 55 plus. We increased most of our attendance. That was, I guess, at least a humorous crash on that one. But we did still have a nice crowd, but just not as big as we were hoping. And I mean, we tried to partner with the Mercy Manor in Albany, and that's still in progress. We'll just leave it at that, because right now we don't have anyone that's willing to sign for them to get an institutional card, but a lot of interest, but no one really wants to sign for it, so.
Questions?
Madam Chair.
Please. So you did this, I mean, the bands come to the library, and the venue is the library? Or?
We in our parking lot, we have a small park, because we share the building with City Hall.
Yep.
And so it's an outdoor concert series. There's a pavilion there that they set up under.
Nice.
And then people just bring lawn chairs, and it, depending on the weather, it can be a pretty good turnout, but unless we hire a band named Social Security Express, then not so much.
Others?
Madam Chair, you should have said that the band that was there was the same age as the Rolling Stones.
that might have been a better sales technique.
Okay, any other questions? Or Wanda?
Good evening. I'm Wanda Erickson, and I'm the branch manager, now LSC, for the Upsala branch located in Morrison County. We've been open for 31 years, and I've been there all of them, and so excited to still be there. Yay! Thank you for allowing me to report to you tonight about one small part of our library. Being an overachiever, I selected two target audiences for 2017, and I anticipated really reporting to you about the outreach to an underserved community. And that's going pretty well. But the more successful project involved a group of almost senior citizens, kind of 55s. Sometimes we call these patrons disenfranchised. I'm not a fan of that term. I kind of think of them as my neighbors, our friends, our family. And in a small town, they really are. And these patrons definitely were. They tend to live on the fringe of the community, either by their own choice or by circumstances that place them there. For a number of years now, we've had one older guy who has frequented the branch. Mostly he reads the newspapers. I always wondered if we could attract other patrons in that age group, in that gender group, and so I began thinking about it. And interestingly enough, at the same time that I actually even began thinking, which was interesting enough as it was, recently another patron began to visit and use the newspapers also in that same demographic group. So we began to talk to them, find out what they actually wanted. Branch staff would mention programs. They'd mention book titles. We would talk about using the internet. We knew what their interests were. We were usually rebuffed. But then, one of the patrons invited another friend, and that patron wanted to use the internet. Had heard a lot about this internet, but he did not know, however, and he had no confidence that he could use the internet. So we started slowly working with him, and he became proficient in using it, and now he owns that computer. I mean, he's on there. Every time we're open, almost the whole time we're open, he's on there. And he invited friends to come to the library. Cool deal. One of them was a guy who needed more intensive assistance than we could provide. We finally convinced him to schedule an appointment with Kate through Book a Librarian. What an incredible service. We cannot say enough about that service in the branches. He was astounded that someone would come all that way to help him, and that they would invest as much time as he needed. He couldn't get over it. He had less than no confidence that he could even use the mouse. Well, the appointment day came. I mean, I've known this guy almost my whole life. The patron came in. He had a new haircut. He had clean clothes, and he had a clean body, and he was excited. He was so excited, and Kate was exceptional. She worked with him for over 2 hours. She explained how to use a mouse. She explained how to find a website. She explained to him how to apply for an email account. And she wrote down that process for him step by step on paper that he could take with him. And then he started to return and could do things on his own. He could not stop talking about how this was so cool and how it would help him. He just couldn't believe that there was this kind of service. I was thrilled. Our whole staff was thrilled that we were able to help him with this. And then I wish I'd have had your scam program. He immediately started purchasing items from a website. My heart just started beating. I thought, oh gosh, he's going to get scammed and then we're all going to be in trouble. Well, when the package arrived in the mail for him, he came right over to the library and he showed us that he got it and it worked. He was thrilled. But then he ordered more. And packages kept coming, and he keeps coming to the library, and he keeps using the internet. We help him as we can, as we have time, and he has continued to learn on his own with help. This process has changed his life. I get a little teary-eyed thinking about it because I know him, and I can see how it's changed his life, and it's changed the lives of other people around that have watched this, too. We now have 5 patrons who use the library almost every day that we're open. We've come to expect them to just drop in. They find the resources they need. They're inviting other friends. We're excited about that. And even that first patron, that first guy that had come those many years but would always, no, I don't need nothing. He, even though he gruffly rebuffed our attempts to provide other information all those many years, just a couple of weeks ago, we had Chad Lewis there. You have Chad Lewis, too. And here comes our patron, got up from his newspaper, and he ambled over, and he sat down and listened to that program. First time he's ever done that. So I see just some exciting things happening with this little fringe group of 55-plus people that were, you know, just so scared and didn't think that the library had any services that could possibly pertain to them. Really excited about that. Cool. So you can, even after 31 years, get excited about something in the library. It's so fun.
He even got a haircut.
He did.
Wow.
And the reason I mentioned it is because it was kind of funny, but it was kind of cool. He took this so seriously. It was a date for him. It was a date with a person that was going to help him. He was so excited about it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And when I told you guys about it, Rachel, it really did change his life, and it's continuing to change his life. Libraries are important. Even in the life of just that one person, it's important.
Great story. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Some of us 55-plus, I know there's not a lot in the room. I might need some of that internet help. So any questions or any comments? Kind of warms your heart to hear those stories.
These are stories that need to go into the newspaper to let the human interest to help us promote every chance we get to promote the library. Look, because other people will know who this person is.
Oh, they do, and they've been watching.
And they're going, oh my Lord, if he can do it,
I can do it too.
I can do it too.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what triggered it was the first guy that came in who didn't have any confidence at all, but we sat and worked with him, and pretty soon he was using that internet and like he's in there every day now. And then
so
this
found
second
the AnyKey then.
There's
found
a couple
the AnyKey.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that I didn't mention, but maybe I can, is that for the most part, these people are low-ability readers. So they're doing things visually with icons and with pictures. And it's opened up a world for them. The last guy that I talked about, he gets his information through videos. He does not read. And so this is critical. It's critical for them.
Might be a great local newspaper story,
I would say.
To highlight the library services.
Except everyone in town would
know.
Stand out.
If they're willing to.
There's a little confidentiality thing.
Yeah.
And I would suggest utilizing it with your fundraising efforts as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could phrase it so that the people wouldn't be readily identifiable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's meant a lot. And I expect to see a lot more of these guys coming now because I know there's a bunch of them out there.
That's great.
They talk to each other.
There, just a thought. It's become a social club.
Oh, yes.
Which is
we already have two of them in Uppsala. I should name this one. We have a group called the Romeos that meet down at one gas station, retired older men eating out. And then we have another group that meets up at the other. They meet up at the farm store.
What are the ladies?
Yeah, they're called the Greater Uppsala Area Think Tank. Yeah. Do you? Yeah.
Well, I don't go there all the time.
Yeah. Maybe you should ask if you could join.
We're all in there having coffee and playing cards and stuff.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Well, I really want to thank you, John and Wanda, for coming and sharing these stories, and hopefully we can utilize those in some of our outreach materials. So moving on to the other items under five.
So this is a 2017 year in review. Thank you, Wanda and John. In here is the library impact report on page 9. You can see an overview of library activity last year at a regional level. If you have any questions about that, feel free to let me know. Numbers vary in terms of being up and down. If you turn to page 11, you can kind of see the benchmarks we had set at the beginning of the strategic plan and where we are in relation to those benchmarks. Book a librarian is something that Wanda mentioned, as did John. You can see we've kind of topped out at the capacity of that service, partly because we have three people delivering that service, and that's not the only job that they do. But it is something that we're seeing sustained numbers around. And they aren't thousands of people, but every one of those people are people like Wanda described. So it's a very powerful service, even though there's low numbers there. Thank you. I do have a summary of the strategic plan numbers on page 14. So you can kind of see which areas exceeded targets and what our intents are around those targets. For example, social media metrics, we already exceeded what we hope to achieve by 2020, so we'll be just adjusting that as a 5% increase year over year, knowing that there's additional work going on from that social media team. Database usage, most databases exceeded targets with the exceptions of Tumble Books and Chilton's. Those are described at in the missed targets section. Book a librarian and chat references are both on target. Digital library users, we've had a hard time pinning down how to track that number, how many people are using the library, partly because the data is provided by the vendor. Now we have two vendors. So going forward, rather than tracking the number of people who have established an a digital library account to check out ebooks, we will be tracking the number of people who are active users of both services. It seems like that will be a more like metric. Resident borrowers is a number we had hoped by now would be a stable number. The decrease has slowed, but we are still seeing a decrease in the number of people with active library cards. So going into 2018, Brandy will be leading a work group of staff to dig into the why behind the decline in those numbers, because that is the number of people who are actively using our physical and digital collections, and we want to make sure that we're growing that number, especially knowing that our population is increasing. In terms of the other metrics that missed, we are going to continue to watch those. Website usage, there's actually a chart on page 17 that shows that we think we have turned a corner in how website usage is being achieved, that we're actually starting to see an increase year over year. It's been a challenge to measure that because we changed the website in 2016. The other charts show that internet and wireless usage is starting to level. Internet usage is declining, wireless usage continues to grow. So what we're seeing is a change in how people are using the facilities. More and more people are coming with their own device and need help using their device rather than using a library computer. Library computer usage still remains fairly strong. Attendance per program is up. In addition to program attendance overall being up, so even though we offered more programs, more people continued to come, which is the first time in a couple of years that we've actually seen an increase. So that is a strong number. In the past, we've also been asked to provide a breakout by branch on some of these metrics. So you can see the change in borrowers on page 18. While overall regional borrower numbers are on the decline, that is not true if you look at it on a branch-by-branch basis. And one of the things we recognize is that if we can turn around borrower numbers in St. Cloud, Elk River, and Buffalo, that would be enough to pop the regional number in the other direction, because so many small libraries are actually seeing a stabilization or an increase in numbers. And St. Cloud alone is a third of the decrease.
So this counts people who walk in.
Borrower numbers are people who have a card and have checked out a book in the last 3 years. So if they haven't used it in 3 years, it expires.
Whether they've been in the facility or...
You have to come to the library to get a card unless you're a student. So if you're a student in a school library environment and your media specialist is working with us, we have a way to issue cards to the to students in schools, but otherwise you physically have to come to the library to get a card.
So if I come to the library and I pick up my books, which I ordered last week, I count one.
Right.
And if I come and get e-books...
You're still one.
I'm still one.
Right. Right. This is the number of people who have a library card and have used it in 3 years. Okay. So.
Here.
Yep.
I have a question. Page 14, you talk about St. Cloud, Elk River, and Buffalo being the biggest decline. But if I look on page 18, I see the Long Prairie drop 12%, which is the highest percentage. Why wouldn't Long Prairie be included in that?
If you looked at the year prior, they had a double-digit increase. So if you look over a trend line, they're actually not as far down as the larger libraries. They also had major road construction in Long Prairie this year, which impacted the number of people using the library. Highway 27 was a disaster for quite a while.
Chair. And, Jim, for your information, Long Prairie is going to be going through this for a few years. MnDOT 7W, they're redoing a lot of blocks downtown with sewer and water and everything else. So for the next 3 years, maybe, they're going to see their downtown ripped up a different block every year because they can't rip the whole thing up in 1 year. And we approved that at MnDOT, and it's just they have to go through just a little bit at a time to upgrade their infrastructure. So you're probably going to see those numbers suffer for a few years for that town until that all gets done.
In fairness to Buffalo, it was the same problem a couple of years ago. So we
because Highway 25 in Buffalo was all ripped up. You couldn't get to the library.
For 3 years.
They drive all the way around.
Right.
Had to go around. The other problem with Buffalo Library is they don't own any parking spaces in that thing. And the apartment building that's right next to the government center, they used to be in our parking lot, the government center, and they got kicked out. And they don't want to park way down at the house of Lowe because that's the only part that's got parking. So they're parking all the spots there closer to the library. And since it's not across the street by the government center, it doesn't get tracked as often by they're in our spots and they shouldn't be there. So I think it's harder for the patrons to get close to that front door. And if they see no parking spot, they might just shine and move on and go somewhere else. I think that's a challenge at that one.
Just a question about the student part of it. You said the students work with their media specialists. So are they counted as a patron of the library when they are getting something from school that goes from us?
If they have a library card in their name. Mm-hmm. And we have some schools that have done registration projects to get students a library card so they can access our e-content, but they could also place holds. So those numbers are included in those borrower numbers. Summer reading program is same thing. We've seen a flattening out. But some libraries have seen substantial increases in activity, like Eagle Bend. And Foley has done a really good job of getting new registrations. Painesville and, you know, Royalton. You know, they're small numbers, but when you have a small number, it's easy to make a double-digit percentage increase year over year. So we are seeing staff working hard to improve those numbers. At a local level, that's happening. What's not happening is we're not seeing that translate into a regional increase yet, and that's what we're going to focus on in 2018. And circulation stats for the last 3 months are included. So if you look at the December page, on page 22, you can see how each branch played out over time. What skews the circulation stats for 2017 We're still seeing the tales of the St. Cloud closure as a result of the arson. So, you know, Waite Park is down, but if you look at Waite Park 2015 numbers, they're still up because they had so much more activity last year when St. Cloud was closed. Clearwater is impacted by that as well, as is Albany. So we'll look over the next year and see how that changes. You can see the locker activity on the last line also. So we served 137 people, delivered 1,374 items in the months of October, November, and December out of the Sartell system last year. So beyond the stats, we also updated the roadmap. For example, we had said last year distribution would analyze our routes and see if we could add additional stops. We had a retirement. We restructured the department. We added Sartell, so that got put on hold. We added that into the 2018 roadmap. So that information is included here. We also have a detail of each department work plan, so you can see the structure of each department, the positions and how that's changed over time, the budget lines that they're responsible for and the history around those budget lines, department indicators, and then strategic plan initiatives. So you can see those pieces from the roadmap and which department will be responsible for them. If you have any questions about that, feel free to ask, but it's mostly provided for your information. Any questions?
And this goes back to page 6. This is just curiosity on my part. Listening to Wanda. Contact with Meals on Wheels, collaboration in Todd and Morrison counties.
Ryan is point person on that. Do you have some information with him being gone, Brandy?
Ryan has been working really hard on that project for the last several months, and he gave us an update last week, I think, that basically they've entered into a verbal agreement with Meals on Wheels for Morrison County, and they'll be getting an institutional card, which basically means that then their volunteers can take items out and get stuff checked out and bring them back. Those kinds of things, and they won't be charged for late fees, only be charged if items are lost. So that's a nice way to do it. So basically everything verbally has been laid out. We're just waiting for the application for the institutional card to come back, and as soon as that comes back, we'll be able to roll that out and start moving that out into the county. And gonna start kind of small, see how it goes, and then expand from there. Yeah, it's very, very exciting.
Others? Jim?
Okay, question for Julie with regard to, you're talking about succession plans will be developed for vital, for very important positions. Do you have them prioritized?
Two areas that we would start with focusing on would be leadership positions, knowing that, I can't remember the number, at least half of our LSCs are eligible for retirement, so that's definitely a priority. And then the other area would be moving into patron services, whether it's moving into library assistant positions or circulation.
Thank you.
So where are we sharing right now? Is that the LSCs?
At this moment, it's Eagle Bend Staples, Annandale Kimball, Cold Spring Richmond. Who did I forget?
Painesville
Belgrade is in an interim starting last week, so we're trying it out there. And there's one more. Oh, Little Falls Swanville. And we're looking at Howard Lake currently. Deb Cox Johnson will be retiring within the next couple of weeks, so we're looking at possibly trying an interim shared position there, similar to what we're doing in Painesville and Belgrade.
And so far, so good?
So far, so good, yep.
Okay, others? Okay, that was all a lot of information there, so if you do think of other things, please contact Karen. Moving on to agenda item number 6 on your agenda. The first thing is the Finance Committee, which I am now the chairperson, through duress. They're scraping the bottom, I'm telling you. The few things that we did tonight was we approved the 2019 budget process. We're using the same process that we've used the last 2 years that the board has recommended. We changed a collateral assignment change request with our work with Bremer, and I have to get these terms right, from a collateral pledge to a letter of credit. There's details in your packet, or if you have more need more information, please see Aaron. Talked about who will participate in the upcoming audit this spring, and that will be Jim, myself, and Randy. And then also a little an incident that happened here at the library with the HVAC system over the last couple weeks is being investigated. There was, if Karen can say a few more things about that.
The cooling portion of the HVAC system stopped working. And there is a human element to why there was a failure, so we are in discussion with the city of St. Cloud to come up with a solution. Fixing the system is going to range between $35,000 and $50,000. So, and the city's insurance, it's likely to fall under their $100,000 deductible, so it's not likely to be covered by City of St. Cloud's insurance. That was unofficial word as of this afternoon, so this is still developing.
Very new information.
I thought we just did new furnace and...
That was new boilers. This is the chiller side of the system.
Yeah. So a couple hundred grand each, huh? Or more.
Karen will share more with us at a later date on that. That's it for finance. Moving on to...
we will need action to approve.
Oh. Thank you. Go ahead.
I had a question on a letter of a credit. Why do we need a letter of credit, and what's it for?
We'll let Aaron respond to that.
The bank is required to collateralize our deposits.
Oh, okay.
So with the varying deposits that we do have and our average daily balances that aren't very steady, a letter of credit is more easily adjusted than a collateral pledge with another entity outside of Bremer Bank.
Because typically what I know about letter of credit is it's something that people can draw on if they need to.
It's a line of credit. A
line of credit. I was corrected on that myself.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I was thinking too.
That's
different.
Dave was all over that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a line of
good
credit
question.
For the record.
I got a little
letter
nervous on
credit.
That one. So.
Other questions?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So why is it advantageous for Bremer? Is it advantageous for us as well, other than that they're happy and we just go along for the ride, or what?
It doesn't do a whole lot for us. I mean, either a collateral pledge or a letter of credit, they both are the same type of instrument in a way, but it's more advantageous to Bremer because they don't have to tie up those funds in a collateral pledge, and they can use that money to loan out to other customers and keep their rates low.
That's what I was thinking.
It doesn't hurt us in any way, though.
No.
Other than if we ever have to draw on it, right?
We're not allowed to draw on it.
That's
it's an instrument that's easier for the bank to adjust. In case down the road our deposits start getting a lot larger than they typically have been in the past, then they can just issue another letter of credit or cancel the one that we have and then issue another one in a different amount.
Yeah, but this sample letter talks about $10 million and available to you against our receipt.
Oh, that's just a sample. That's not what ours will actually
I know.
Look like. Yeah.
But it implies that we could have access to the funds if we needed them. And then it becomes a credit instrument, which is advantageous for Bremer on their asset list. And or am I all wet? Ask about that.
Well, I ask about a line of credit just like Dan did, and this is different. This is a letter
you can't
of
draw
credit.
On it.
It's not a line of credit. It's a letter of credit. We can't draw on it at all. So that's where I needed to clarify.
Unless we go bankrupt, then
well,
we can draw on it.
Yes. It really helps Bremer, but it really help. It doesn't harm us in any way from what Aaron said to us earlier at the Finance Committee. So.
No, it's also AAA rated opinion by Moody.
Right. Got that. I read that.
Yep. As far as I know, we can't draw on them like a line of credit.
No.
Even though it says it's here, but this is, like Karen pointed out, a sample.
Right.
Ours probably won't say that. Hopefully it doesn't. And if it does, then I'll probably run that by our auditor just to make sure. But as far from what I know of them, we cannot draw on them.
You might make comments what the auditor said, too, because, you know, address that issue a little bit. With what the auditor told you when you asked him.
Will do.
I mean, tell her what you said.
You did already.
Oh, I did pass this along to our auditors when Bremer Bank did bring it to our attention the first time, which was about 3-4 weeks ago when they asked about it. So I sent the information over to our auditor to look at, and she wrote back and said it's completely fine to do it this way as long as the FHLB, which is the Federal Housing Bank, is AAA credit rated.
And they're supported by government funds?
Correct.
Yes. Or backed by?
Well, they're backed by the federal government. It's a Federal Housing,
FHA?
Federal Home Loan Bank of Des Moines.
So I do have to ask, did the auditor charge you for that opinion?
Nope.
Better not. Okay, so we would be seeking a motion to approve the Finance Committee report.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Is there a second?
Second, Madam Chair.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried. Moving on to the Personnel Committee report from Wayne.
Yeah. So the Personnel Committee met this evening. We did an election for committee chair people, and board member Bertram nominated me. Thank you so much as I walked the door late.
That pretty strongly, Jeff. Let's say.
happy to do it. With that said, moving forward, the one consideration tonight was the compensation classification consulting request. The consultation request or funding request was to reevaluate the salary benchmarks that we currently have and bring things into compliancy. The motion that was presented was also including utilizing a balance of funds designated for the executive director search. It was about $4,100. That was essentially still on the payroll or on the books. Questions as to why it was still on the books after these years came up, and there will be at a later time and date a review of these funds that are designated and remain on the books for a year or so. At the end of the day, the motion was presented and passed to fund the remaining balance of the $10,000 need to move forward with finding a consultant to evaluate the salary benchmark. So.
Okay. So we would also be seeking a motion to approve the Personnel Committee's report.
So moved.
Is there
second?
Second by Jim. Yep. Any other comments or questions?
Madam Chair, I just want to mention Mr. Potter did point out that we might be non-compliant right now with salaries, so that Mike brought that up as another reason to support this.
Last meeting, Jim, Madam Chair, we got the report that was being sent in that we are not in compliance, so this is actually a good proactive. Before we get that letter that we're not in compliance, we're already taking steps to correct that. Because what is it with a class, male, female classification? Something changed there that kind of threw our numbers off, and it happens. And this is more of a, to for the rest of you, it's a tune-up to make sure we're in there. It's not a complete overhaul, like Karen said before. It's just a tune-up to make sure we're within compliance. Things that no matter what entity you do, if you do a classification compensation study every few years, you should be looking at it to see if it's still in compliance.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Now, a report from the Fund Development Committee.
Yep.
Laura?
And I'll be giving that. I believe this was the third meeting for the Fund Development Committee. It was my first meeting, so thank you, fellow board member, for the appointment. I think this is going to be a lot of fun to be on the committee. We met with Stu Wilson, and he is from Library Strategies, which is a consulting group, and they are part of the St. Paul Public Library. We discussed and just an overview of the best ways to get to presented fundraising. And then we chose a possible list of contacts for an interview panel. And we kind of went with a cross-section of board members, friends members, and major donors. And I guess donors for the regional library kind of averaged about $75 per person in 2017. And then we kind of rounded out our discussion that day with planning for a retreat, which would be about 3 to 4 hours. And I don't know if Karen wanted to talk more about the retreat date at this meeting.
Oh, we could. That would be a good idea.
Notes on
so
that.
So the retreat, the plan is Stu will pull together a draft, a three-year fundraising plan for us to review. And then the retreat would be a selection of staff members and other stakeholders, friends, members, and Great River board members, to talk about the plan and get it into final form. So we're looking at April 11th as a potential date. It would be from 4 to 8 p.m. here at the St. Cloud Library, assuming I can get a meeting room space. And we're just wondering who would be interested in participating in that discussion.
Who, Madam Chair, who's the Fund Development Committee?
Currently.
Bernice, I know, was on it.
Currently, it's Jane, Laura, and Mary from the Great River Board.
Got it. So obviously, that would be a natural.
Right. Yep.
Three of them.
Okay.
Maybe not. We might have a bias.
If other people are interested, are other people interested? I am not available that day, so that won't work for me.
Maybe I was probably talking when I should have been listening, but the interview panel, that's a phone interview first, and then the retreat.
Right. The phone interviews, he was in the bid, he said he was going to do between 8 and 10 one-hour phone interviews with some board members, some friends members, some donors. And using that information and then the background information that I gave him, he will be pulling together that draft plan to look at. We'll also include some staffing recommendations because we do have the Associate Director of PR open right now, and that'll be part of that evaluation. Okay, so if you are available and interested, April 11th from 4 to 8 p.m. for that retreat to be involved, I would let Karen know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Could I ask that an email go out just in the event?
Sure.
Those of us that possibly are open.
Yep.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and I'll send that out once we get the date finalized. I do know Library Strategies is available. That's when our Fund Development Committee would have met. My challenge right now is this room's full and that room's full. And the St. Cloud Friends are scheduled to meet that night too, so we're training horses right now behind the scenes trying to make this space happen.
Madam Chair, how is the consultant being paid on this? Is this being hourly? Is this a lump sum? Is it monthly? How is he being paid?
We have a contract with them. They bid the project at, I want to say it was $75.86 plus incidentals, not to exceed around $500. They estimated that they came to that estimate based on their hourly rate. So if we want them to do more than what the projects entailed, like for example, we decide that we want to go with a firm rather than a position to do fundraising, we could
consult with them for an additional hourly rate beyond the project. So there is room for us to work with them further. But the bid had specific deliverables, and that included the fund development plan, the interviews with the stakeholders, the board retreat, and then they will be coming to the May board meeting to present their findings.
Okay. As stated on your agenda, our next meeting is March 20th at 6 p.m. And with that, concluding our...
I don't know, Madam Chair, I just want to thank Patty for sending out the definitions and acronyms.
Mm-hmm.
Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
That was a labor of love.